Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Great to have you on the flagship. 76 degrees, mostly cloudy, wind out of the north at 10. Outstanding day in the Twin Cities. Eric Nelson with you. Shaletta Brundage, the studio coordinator. Kevin Reed, the program producer. It's time for the Minnesota Twins week in review. The week started out on a sputtering note for the Twins as they struggle against Toronto. But, boy, they picked up steam and they sprinted to the finish line. And they get a victory today over the Chicago White Sox, 5-3. So they take 3 out of 4 in Chi-Town. Next up for Minnesota, a trip to the Gateway City, taking on the St. Louis Cardinals. Two-game interleague series with St. Louis on Monday night and Tuesday afternoon. It's always a lot of fun to go to St. Louis. What a great baseball city St. Louis, Missouri is, and really Redbird Nation. The footprint is huge. Missouri, Illinois, Kansas, Arkansas, parts of Iowa, Oklahoma, they all love those Redbirds. So that's where the Twins are off to next. They'll have a day off on Wednesday, and then Minnesota travels to Orange County. A four-game series with the LA Angels begins on Thursday night. You'll hear every game right here on WCCO, your flagship home for Minnesota Twins tickets. Later on in the show, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to the Tigers-Twins game on May 23rd at Trendy Target Field. If you can identify the highlight of the week. Now, I played it a few minutes ago, so I hope you've put it down on paper or filed it away in the memory bank, whatever. Jotted it down somewhere, because we're going to ask you about that later on the show. And if you have the correct answer and you're the right caller, you may get the pair of tickets to see Detroit and Minnesota Wednesday, May 23rd. That's a 12:10 start in Minneapolis. Ron Gardenhire and the Tigers will be back in town. Also, we want to know, who do you cast your vote for as the Twins player of the week? My top candidates were Fernando Romero, Eddie Rosario, Eduardo Escobar, or Logan Morrison. You can text us at 81807, 81807. Some early returns are in, and I can tell you that one guy, based on a small sample size, could be a runaway winner. This could be a landslide. But I expect more votes to trickle in, so we'll see if this certain individual does become your Twins player of the week. Text us at 81807. All right, let's start with a look back at the week that was, and some highlights will be sprinkled in. On Monday, Toronto comes to town. Blue Jays and Twins open up a three-game series, and Toronto gets the opener 7-5. The Blue Jays jump out to a big lead as they play long ball, and one of those home runs was smoked.
Need the out. Hit high in the air. Right field. Robbie back, and gone. Two-run homer for Justin Smoke, his fourth of the year. And a three-run fourth inning right now, just one out.
Yeah, the Blue Jays built a big lead. The Twins tried to chip away, and they were able to cut the gap to one after this Max Kepler at bat.
Traveling time for Joe at first in the seventh. And the 3-2 pitch, a swing and a rocket to right, deep down the line, in the corner. Back it goes, in play and off the wall. Maurer to third. Maurer's heading home. The throw from Hernandez will be late. Maurer slides and scores. It's a one-run game.
However, that would be enough for the Twins. Toronto adds one more run, and they win it 7-5. On Tuesday, it's another successful night for the Jays, who win their second straight game in the series. For Minnesota, a guy from St. Paul went deep for the first time in 2018.
And the 3-1 pitch, a swing, a towering drive into right center field and deep. Back goes Hernandez, warning track wall. That ball is gone, a home run. Maurer's first of the season. Gives the Twins a 1-0 lead.
So Joe Maurer with his first tater of the campaign. And this was a tie ball game going into the 10th inning, 4-4. However, the Blue Jays would score three, and the go-ahead run, well, you don't like the way this all played out if you're a Twins fan.
Base is loaded, one out. Curtis to Diaz, and the pitch he takes low in the dirt, gets away from Garver. Pilar heading home, will score standing, 5-4 Toronto.
Yeah, John Curtis, the wild pitch. Toronto would add two more. Jays win it in 10, 7-4. On Wednesday, though, the rookie, Fernando Romero, is on the bump, and he's brilliant in his MLB debut, going 5 2/3 innings, allowing no runs and four hits. And he got some support from Eddie Rosario.
No score bottom two as he swings and rips one deep to left center. Pilar chasing this one. Still going out the wall, and it's gone! Landing in the Blue Jay bullpen, Rosario homers for the second straight game here at Target Field, and it's 1-0 Twins here in the second.
So Rosario with the home run, and that would really start off a big week for Eddie Rosario at the plate for the Minnesota Twins. Again, they get the shutout victory as Romero was fabulous. 4-0, Twins win it. On Thursday, the Twins began the road trip in Chicago against the White Sox. And it was another dagger defeat for the Twins as they lost 6-5. However, Logan Morrison was able to go deep in this one.
Hit high in the air right field. This is a no doubter down the right field line. And Morrison is connected with a two-run homer. Twins up now 5-1. His third of the year.
So Logan Morrison with that home run. This game was tied into the bottom of the ninth inning. But then Trace Thompson hit one deep into the Chicago night to walk it off.
Castro wants it away, and the pitch is away and skied to left field and deep. Eddie Rosario watching this one sail into the seats, and a walk-off home run wins it for Chicago 6-5. Second time Reed has been hurt on a game-ending long ball. It was Gomez who got him not long ago at Tropicana Field, and now against his first organization, a two-out home run to Trace Thompson, and the White Sox win it 6-5.
Yeah, Trace Thompson, brother of Klay Thompson, outstanding NBA player for the Golden State Warriors. And, of course, he's the son of Michael Thompson. Once upon a time, one of the greatest Minnesota Gopher basketball players ever. Fourth time this year the Twins have lost in a walk-off scenario, so that certainly stings. But on Friday, the Twins regroup. And they knock off Chicago 6-4 down at Guaranteed Rate Field. Minnesota muscles up and puts on a power display, slugging four home runs in the game. One of the long balls came off the bat of Brian Dozier, who broke out of a 3-for-42 slump.
And the 2-1, a drive to left field and deep. Back it goes. Deep it goes. And gone, a home run for Dozier. Twins have the lead 3-2.
Also hitting a home run going yard in that ball game was Eduardo Escobar. In fact, he did it once and then again another time.
And the 0-2 pitch, a fly ball into right. That's tagged back towards the bullpen, up and gone, a home run. A two-homer night for Escobar. Twins club their third home run already and have a 4-2 lead in the third inning.
So the Twins would hang on and knock off the Chicago White Sox on Friday. That final was 6-4. Last night, Saturday, it's an 8-4 Minnesota win as the Twins stage their own Cinco de Mayo celebration on the south side of Chicago. Again, Eddie Rosario, he had the hot stick. In the first inning, Rosario with a two-bagger.
And the 0-1 pitch, a drive to center field. That's it well. Engel going back, still going back. It's over his head, and it hits the warning track and will bounce over the wall for a ground rule double. It's 1-0 Twins as Maurer scores. Kepler has to stop at third base as Escobar strikes again.
And the Twins had a first-inning explosion. Rosario would come up later on and allow Minnesota to up that lead.
Kepler at third, Escobar at second, one out, 1-0 Twins. And the 1-2 pitch, a ground ball up the middle to his left. Anderson dives. He gloves it. No play at first, no play at third. Kepler scores, 2-0 Twins.
Eddie Rosario, though, not done. We go to the third inning, and he dials eight, calls long distance. There it goes.
And the 2-2 pitch, a swing at a high fly into right field. Thompson back. Thompson still going. Thompson at the wall. It is gone, a home run. A towering homer to right for Eddie Rosario, his sixth of the season, and the Twins have a 5-1 lead.
Rosario, though, not finished. In the fourth inning, he kept up the hot hitting.
And looked it into left center field. Long run for Engel. He's just still drifting. He'll pull up, play it off the wall. Here comes Maurer. He'll score. Kepler being waved around. He'll score as the relay comes in, and it's missed by Anderson. So a two-run double. And, boy, have a night, Eddie Rosario. Two more RBIs, five on the night.
Yeah, Dan Gladden summed it up well there. Four hits in all for Rosario in that ball game, and, of course, the five RBI key the Minnesota Twins to the win, 8-4 over the Chicago White Sox. Another footnote, a good sign for Minnesota. Lance Lynn, one of their key free agent pickups in the offseason, the former St. Louis Cardinal, gets his first win as a Twin on the mound. So he's in the victory column today, Sunday. Twins trying to make it 3 out of 4, and they do as they knock off the White Sox 5-3. Chicago had the early lead, but Minnesota would claw back, and it was a no-hitter into the seventh for James Shields. However, the Twins not only would break up the no-no, they would eventually tie the thing up.
And the 0-1 pitch, line drive, base hit right field. Dozier scores, stopping at second base. Escobar, it's a one-run game. RBI single, Rosario, 2-1 Chicago.
So the Twins cut the gap to one. Later in the inning, again, top seven, Logan Morrison. And he is starting to find his groove. A key hit for Morrison.
Avilon comes set, and the two-strike pitch lined to right down the line. That's a fair ball. The Twins are going to take the lead. Escobar scores. Rosario to second, I should say to the plate. The throw to second is late, and the Twins lead 3-2.
So Logan Morrison with that two-run double. Now the Chicago White Sox would come back to tie in this game. However, the Twins get the go-ahead run on really a mental meltdown by Chicago.
And here's the pitch, and that's cued on the ground to third. Holding, now Maurer's going to take off. Maurer's going to score, and the Twins have a 4-3 lead. Yomer Sanchez fielded the weak ground ball on the grass, and Joe took his lead, didn't break for the plate, then started running. Sanchez never saw him. And once Sanchez threw to first base, Joe scored easily, and the Twins have a 4-3 lead here in the eighth inning.
So the faux pas by Sanchez allows the Twins to take the lead. Then in the top of the ninth, Eddie Rosario, that man again, gave the Twins an insurance run.
And the 2-2 pitch, a drive to left center field. Engel back. Engel still going. Warning track wall. That ball's gone. A home run. Eddie Rosario to center field. His seventh homer, and the Twins get a huge insurance run. Have a 5-3 lead here in the ninth inning.
How about Eddie Rosario making a bid to be your Twins Player of the Week? Again, you can cast your vote via text 81807. Who do you think is the Player of the Week? Is it Rosario? Maybe it's Eduardo Escobar, Logan Morrison, Fernando Romero. I can tell you the early votes are trickling in, and right now Rosario is the front runner. But this election is not over. The polling booths are still open. All right, we're going to step away. When we come back, we'll go down on the farm, get a minor league report from Marshall Kellner, play-by-play voice of the Fort Myers Miracle in the Class A Florida State League. It's 5:23 on the Twins Week in Review here on WCCO.
Can we go back? This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling can.
Cities, mostly cloudy skies, wind out of the north at 10. Welcome back to the Twins Week in Review. Eric Nelson with you. We are here until 6 o'clock. It's 5:28 on the flagship home for Minnesota Twins baseball. The Twins with a victory today over the Chicago White Sox 5-3 at Guaranteed Rate Field on the south side of Chicago. Zach Duke, your winner, he's 2-1. Rondon, the loser, he's 1-2. The save goes to Fernando Rodney. So the mythical release of the arrow, the shooting of the arrow, happens again today in Chicago. Twins got a great start from Kyle Gibson. He gets a no decision, but he was solid on the mound. 6 2/3 innings and gave up 4 hits, 3 runs, all of them earned. Minnesota with the offensive firepower from Eddie Rosario with a home run in the ball game for the Twins. Also had another hit, drove in 2 on the day. And the Twins have now won 3 straight, and no doubt it'll be a happy flight down to St. Louis as they get ready to take on the Cardinals tomorrow night at Busch Stadium. Interleague play, Minnesota and St. Louis, a rematch of that 87 World Series. They're still bitter about it downriver in St. Louis, the Gateway City. By the way, the Cardinals on top of the NL Central with a 19-12 record. They're 1 game ahead of Milwaukee, 2 better than Pittsburgh. Chicago Cubs are 2.5 off the mark, and the Cincinnati Reds are 12 games behind St. Louis. So this will be another challenge for the Twins, no doubt. St. Louis 11-5 this season at Busch Stadium. And I would imagine there will be a few Twins fans down there in Missouri, because that's one of those baseball towns you want to visit if you get a chance, St. Louis, Missouri. And by the way, the Cardinals will be here in the Twin Cities next week as the 2-game series will be played in Minneapolis. So that'll be a lot of fun. And I remember the last time St. Louis came into the Twin Cities at Target Field. Boy, you walk around the venue and you saw so many Cardinal fans. You saw people wearing Musial jerseys and Brock and McGee and Jack Clark and all these names from yesteryear. Pujols, who, even though he's now with the LA Angels, certainly has a pedigree in St. Louis. So Cardinal Nation travels very well. All right, when we come back, we'll go down on the farm. Time for the minor league report. We'll find out about the Fort Myers Miracle. This is the Twins Week in Review on WCCO.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got you.
Oh, it's a feel-good day in the state of Minnesota. 76 degrees outside here, downtown Minneapolis. And certainly a feel-good day for the Minnesota Twins, who get a victory in Chicago 5-3 over the White Sox. Welcome back. Twins Week in Review, and the Twins take 3 out of 4 from the beleaguered Shy Sox, a young team with a lot of talent, but certainly going through a lot of growing pains as we speak. 5-4-1 for Minnesota, 3-5-1 for Chicago. Duke the winner, Rondon the loser, Rodney his 5th save. Don't forget, you can text us your vote for the Twins Player of the Week, 81807. In the early leader, and I have a feeling it'll probably be this guy in a landslide, Eddie Rosario. And what a week Rosario had, including a home run today in the 9th inning. Also, another hit in that victory over the Chicago White Sox. And in a few minutes, we'll be giving away tickets to the Tigers-Twins game on May 23rd. That's a Wednesday, 12:10 start, if you can identify what was the highlight of the week. Okay, it's time to give you our minor league report here on the Twins Week in Review. Let's listen in. And we're going down on the farm, and joining us this week is Marshall Kellner, the play-by-play voice of the Fort Myers Miracle, Class A Florida State League. And, of course, Marshall, you're from the Twin Cities, and I know it's a big thrill for you to do the Miracle Games and take a look at these young guys who someday may be up here at the MLB level playing at Target Field.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Thank you, first of all, for having me, Eric. And absolutely, being from Minnetonka, grew up listening to the Twins games on the radio, John Gordon and Herb Carneal, and you know, now listening to Corey and Danny. It's a lot of fun for me. And also getting to be here during spring training was great as well. I was the PA announcer for spring training. Got to see the development of this team kind of come together during the spring. And now we'll see some young guys who, like you said, hopefully will be in Minnesota in the not too distant future.
Yeah, and spring training down there in the Grapefruit League, it's a blast. I've been down there many times. And, of course, when you go to a game at Hammond Stadium, that CenturyLink Sports Complex, they always tell you you're in the southern tip of Twins territory. So you're down there on that Gulf Coast, and I know it's fabulous during the winter and the spring. You get into the summer, it starts to heat up a bit. Where are we weather-wise in Fort Myers right now?
Well, we had a 90-degree first pitch temp last night. I think that was our first pitch temp at 90 or above. So, like you said, we're getting up in the heat level here. But I mean, still can't complain. The offices are still air conditioned. Press boxes are, for the most part, still air conditioned. So, at least for me, I'm not out there too much. But we do roll up the windows as always for the game. So, yeah, I mean, the heat definitely, though. You know, on a more serious note, definitely is a factor in the preparation of these guys. I mean, I think later in the season you might see a lot of teams not take batting practice on the field, maybe just hit in the cages underneath, and they need to do a good job of keeping their of not getting too fatigued, because the humidity is a very serious thing, and they got to stay hydrated, got to make sure they last the long haul. For some of these guys, this is their first full season in affiliated baseball. They might have played part of a season last year at Cedar Rapids, or some played the full season. But dealing with this heat is a serious factor, and something the trainers, strength coaches, and the entire coaching staff has to monitor.
Yeah, no question. Hydration. Stay in the shade when you can. And that Florida sauna, it's the real deal when you get into summer, even the early fall. And as you mentioned, some of these guys might be from the north or the Midwest. It's an adjustment now for the guys from Florida, Latin America. Maybe they're used to it. But even guys, Marshall, from, say, Arizona or California, where it's a drier heat, I would think that's an adjustment for them, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I was out in California the past couple years in the Cal League, which is a high A league. Now, I will say, in that league, in the middle of the summer, it can get about 110 degrees, up to as high as that. So when it gets that hot, it really doesn't make a difference. But you're right, when it's say 90 degrees there versus 90 here, it's a different 90, like you said. So definitely an adjustment.
Marshall Kellner, our guest, he's the play-by-play voice of the Fort Myers Miracle down there at the Class A level in the Florida State League. Marshall, it's early in the season, obviously, especially at the minor league level. I know this weekend Fort Myers taking on Jupiter. Give us some of your takeaways through the first couple of weeks.
Well, I think we've had a lot of guys, unfortunately, go on the disabled list. Nothing too serious as far as stuff that'll keep them out for the season, but that has certainly hurt. We had our center fielder, Aaron Whitefield, go down with a hand injury. He's going to miss some time, and he was one of the higher-rated prospects on this team. Really exciting to watch defensively, a guy from Australia who played against center field and was extremely athletic, extremely fast, very raw. Didn't start playing baseball till he was 17. Actually grew up playing softball in Australia, played for the Australian national team like his parents did. So he's a guy that hopefully will be able to come back. And then we've had some other key contributors go down, but they really treaded water nicely. A couple of guys who have really stuck out. Left-handed pitcher Anthony Marzi just got promoted to Double A Chattanooga, and he was in an independent ball at this time last year. And he actually started with the Yankees organization, was signed as a non-drafted free agent out of UConn, but came down with mono right before he started pitching in the Yankees system. Didn't get to pitch till August of that year where he was signed, and then the Yankees released him the following spring training. Had to go to independent ball in New Britain, Connecticut, near where he's from. And he grew up a Yankees fan, so that was tough on him. And then the Twins signed him, and he recently got to pitch, and he pitched very well against the Yankees affiliate at their spring training home in Tampa, and that was his last start prior to his promotion. So pretty cool story there. Also, Tyler Wells, 6'7 right-hander, who had a great year last year for Cedar Rapids after battle some injuries late in the year, but got off to a tremendous start. He's off to another tremendous start this year, 6'7", and really commands the ball well for a big guy. And he should be a name to watch moving forward, no question.
You have had a glimpse of Byron Buxton, unfortunately, on the shelf for a while. with the big club, the Minnesota Twins. He's gone down to Fort Myers to rehab. I know he's back up north in Chicago this weekend. How did Buxton look when you saw him?
Well, it was only one game, unfortunately. Like you said, he went 0 for 4, but hit the ball hard three of those times. Went to the right side every time, lined out to second, and then three fly balls out to right, and seemed to move around fine. And actually, I didn't even really – I know he fouled the ball off his foot in that game, leading to the hairline fractures we later found out, but I didn't even, thinking back on it, really – remember that moment, because he didn't take too long to get back into the batter's box. It must have been something that, got to him afterwards. And he was actually in the lineup the next day, batting second and playing center field as was planned. But then of course he was scratched from the lineup that day and hasn't played since. So, hopefully he gets back soon. I know the guys down here are certainly, excited to have him, but certainly, wishing that he gets back to the big club soon. And he makes such an impact, on offense, but especially on defense. He's the center fielder in baseball, in my opinion. So I think he'll give them a big spark once he comes back.
Yeah, and speed rattles, as we all know. Get him on the base paths, and those pitchers,
yes,
they start getting distracted and lose their focus. You know, one thing, Marshall, I love about the Florida State League are some of the nicknames. You've got the Daytona Tortugas, the Tampa Tarpons, the Lakeland Flying Tigers, the Clearwater Threshers. How about the Florida Fire Frogs, the Jupiter Hammerheads, the Bradenton Marauders, the Charlotte Stone Crabs, of course, the Fort Myers Miracle, where you are. So they're creative down there at the minor league level, Class A, and you go all around the Sunshine State. Take us through those road trips.
Yeah, well, the travel here is not bad. We can't complain. Our longest trip is 4 hours to the Daytona Tortugas, as you mentioned, in Daytona Beach. But the travel's pretty easy here. Most of our bus trips are, 2.5 hours. We do have a couple commuters, which means we go there and back on the same day. One to Port Charlotte for the Charlotte Stone Crabs, the Rays affiliate. That's about 40, 45 minutes away each way. And then Bradenton we do commute to as well. That we haven't commuted there yet, but that'll be a longer trip, about an hour and a half there, hour and a half back. That's the Pirates affiliate. But other than that, those are the only two commuters. Other than that, we're in the hotel, and the travel's pretty easy. Nothing like those horror stories you hear about with the 13-hour bus rides. Certainly, though, the guys coming from Cedar Rapids have experienced that in the Midwest League. So I'm sure that's one advantage we do have here to offset the heat negative factor.
Yeah, the shorter road trips. Before I let you go, Marshall, how'd you wind up Minnetonka High School out there to USC, the Trojans? That's where you went to school.
Yeah, well, I'm from Minnetonka. I went to Blake, actually, and then went to USC. And I was just out there with some family, and we decided to take a look at USC. They had a really good program in communications at the Annenberg School for Communications and Journalism. And just fell in love with the place there, and it was a great 4 years. The Trojan family is definitely a real thing. One guy who's connected to the Twins is Rhett Bollinger, who writes for MLB.com. He was a senior there when I was a freshman, and we still stay connected. And now got to see him a lot during spring training. So when you tell someone you went to USC, it's definitely a source of pride. And And we have a lot of broadcasters actually coming up through the ranks as well. So hopefully, I don't know if we are close to catching Syracuse yet. That's the kind of the big school for that. And I know Corey Provis went there, and he loves Syracuse as well. Great school in its own right. But we're trying our best to start a USC legacy as well.
And you caught the tail end of the legendary Vin Scully's career calling L.A. Dodger games. So I'm sure that you tuned in a few nights listening to the icon.
No doubt. And that definitely was a perk of being out there, to get to watch them on local television. And, he's obviously the best who's ever done it. And, it was great. I also got the tail end of Pete Carroll for USC football. So really can't complain. It was a great time out there.
Yeah, good run. All right, thanks so much, Marshall. Good luck down there in the southern tip of Twins territory.
Thank you very much. Appreciate you having me.
All right, he's Marshall Kellner, play-by-play voice of the Fort Myers Miracle, here on the Twins Week in Review on WCCO. All right, always good to go down on the farm. And certainly we'll keep touching bases with Marshall during the season to see how the Miracle are doing in the Florida State League. All right, we will take the fourth caller at 651-989-9226, 651-989-9226 in the Twin Cities Metro, or 866-989-9226, 866-989-9226, toll-free line. Our highlight of the week, I played it earlier. Who was it? And what game did it happen in? Identify it if you're the fourth caller. You'll be going to see the Tigers and Twins on May 23rd over at Target Field, 1210, first pitch. By the way, the votes are in for the Twins Player of the Week, and it is a landslide. Eddie Rosario with 10 votes. Fernando Romero, Logan Morrison, some others got a couple of votes, but Eddie Rosario, a slam dunk winner for your Twins Player of the Week. When we come back, we'll give away those tickets. We'll also go outdoors with Steve Carney on WCCO. Trip off to a good start for the Minnesota Twins. They take three out of four in Chicago. Now they will head to the South and the West. They will stop in St. Louis. Two games at Busch Stadium. Interleague play against the Cardinals. Day off on Wednesday, and then they go way west. Orange County, they'll take on the LA Angels. Four-game series beginning on Thursday night. We have a winner. I'd have to pack my things. In the Identify the Highlight of the Week segment here on the Twins Week in Review show. And the winner is Cole O'Brien. So congratulations to Cole O'Brien. Once again, the top highlight of the week, chosen by yours truly, Eddie Rosario, a home run last night. It was part of his four-hit, five RBI game. Eddie Rosario also voted the Player of the Week. So congrats to Eddie Rosario. And he's a guy that if he heats up, certainly the Minnesota Twins are going to win a lot more ball games. So we're going to wrap up this week's edition of the Twins Week in Review. We'll make a quick pivot and segue now into the great outdoors as we focus on some fishing with our good friend Steve Carney, who joins us now. And I know, Steve, we move you around a little bit during the baseball season, but always good to talk to you. And you're checking out some border water lakes. Is that true?
That's true, Eric. Good afternoon. Haven't talked to you for a while.
Yeah, great to have you on.
Good to hear your voice. I'm really kind of impressed. I mean, I was out in western Minnesota on the border waters this week, and I didn't really anticipate the fishing to be very good. The ice went out maybe 5-6 days before I got there with my group, and we really did well. We had a wonderful couple of days, a lot of nice numbers of walleyes, smallmouth bass, largemouth bass, silver bass. The fish were really going. And what I couldn't believe is the water temperatures were 57 degrees, which just blew me away. I expected high 30s, low 40s, but what it really tells me is I think we're in for a very, very good opener, and things have accelerated so much in the last 10 days that I think it's going to be better than people anticipated. And even with the ice out late, boy, we've had some great 70s and 80s and high winds, and it's really, really turn things around. So I'm pretty impressed.
Yeah, and that's really amazing, Steve. When you think about 3 weeks ago, an epic blizzard hits the Twin Cities, state of Minnesota, and we kept hearing that the opener was going to be a disaster. As you talked about, the ice outs have been historically late. And yet here we are, 6 days away from the opener. And I know the temperature is going to drop off as we get toward the weekend, but there's been plenty of hot weather leading up to it.
Yeah, and nobody really anticipated that happening. And, you know, people don't realize you get 5 days in a row of 75, 80s, it changes everything. And my recommendation for people for this upcoming weekend will be the farther south you are, I think the better off you're going to be. Winnie, of course, will be open. Mille Lacs, maybe three-quarters open. Leech Lake, possibly wide open. But you got to remember, just because the ice is off doesn't mean the fishing is going to be good. That water is still going to be very cold. So I'm telling people, go into western Minnesota, southern Minnesota, or even the St. Croix River and stay in that central part of the state, and you're going to have better water temperatures. The fish will be off the spawn and quite a bit ahead of, you know, their northern cousins. So if you're going to go north, you know, God bless you. But if you want to catch fish, I think south of the 94 corridor is going to be the place to be. And the farther south you are, the warmer that water is going to be.
So what's the fishing opener like for Steve Carney? You've done it for many years, Steve. Is it still like, you know, Christmas Day and New Year's Eve rolled into one?
Oh, Eric, you know, I still can't sleep the night before, and, you know, that'll never change. And, you know, it's all about the anticipation and the preparation. And I'm going to probably decide, I'm going to be out in Traverse again this week, a couple of days, and I'm going to be back for the weekend. And I'm going to probably make a decision on Friday where I'm going to take my people, if I'm going west or going south. And the weather sounds kind of all over the board, a little bit of rain and some fronts coming in. So I'm not really sure where I'm going, but it's definitely going to be, you know, south of I-94 and stay in the central part of Minnesota. So, you know, either way, I think either Saturday or Sunday, it's going to be better than people think. So people will be out in force, no doubt. They always are.
And, of course, when you get the fishing opener, you get sometimes some record crowds. Are you expecting a huge turnout given the fact we've had this this weather turnaround?
You know, Eric, I think it's going to be a record turnout because people are so fed up with this winter and the snow we just had, and I think people have just kind of had it. And I can tell because my phone's been ringing off the hook the last 2 weeks that people are just ready to go. And it's kind of early for that type of excitement, but I think this winter was so long and so brutal that people are ready to go. And they'll be out there no matter what. It could be raining and 30 degrees and people are going to be out there. And, you know, that's the beauty of Minnesota and, you know, the wonderful thing about opening weekend, people just go no matter what. So it'll be interesting, and I think a lot of people will probably stay south, and I think some of the areas in the metro area probably will be fairly crowded. A lot of the people that traditionally go north will probably stay south because of the late ice out. So it could be interesting, you know, get there very early in the morning. If you can drop your boat in before first light, you know, that's a good move. And I think things are going to be a little bit more hectic in the metro, but we're all looking forward to it. I think if we can just get 50s, 60s this week, those fish will be ready to go. So looking forward to it.
All right, we got about 30 to 40 seconds left. Some quick tips on what the anglers should do when they get back on the water as far as safety and, you know, not pulling in those zebra mussels, all that good stuff that you have to always be aware of.
Yep, make sure you got your life jackets. Make sure you have a fire extinguisher. You know, the big thing people forget about is their throw cushion. You have to have a throw cushion in your boat, and a lot of people don't even know that's even a rule, and that's something you need to throw to somebody if they end up in the water. So make sure you got the fire extinguisher, your life jackets, and your throw cushion, because you'll get about a $75 fine if you get checked and you don't have your throw cushion. And you also cannot have it in your storage. You have to have it up on your deck. And that's another reason that, you know, people have to pay attention. So we hope all the CCO listeners have a great weekend. I'll be checking in throughout the next 6 or 7 days, do a little TV with Mike Max, and we're going to all get whipped up and ready to go.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll talk to you next weekend, Steve. So rest up and get ready to go because it's your time of year.
You got it, Eric. Good to talk to you, man.
All right, thanks so much. He's Steve Carney. We go outdoors with him once a week here on WCCO. A focus on fishing this time of year, and, of course, the opener coming up on Saturday. And we'll have a lot of coverage here on WCCO. I'm sure Adam Carter will be all over at Maxi and everybody else at the station. So we're just about out of time on the Twins Week in Review. We snuck in the interview with Steve Carney as well. But, again, if you're just joining us, Twins over the White Sox today at the Guaranteed Rate Field in Chicago, Illinois. 5-3 the final, 5-4-1 for Minnesota, 3-5-1 for the White Sox. Duke the winner, Rondon the loser, Rodney the save. This is WCCO. It's kind of too bad.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.